It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Well, I find this kind of weird. So many of you have asked about the continuing saga of Ray Appleton's move that is never ending. it's every time the phone rings, I jump because it's always been bad news the last 2 or 3 weeks. By the way, my beautiful, old, wonderful, solid, safe, fabulous home on Old Van Ness. Gee, I'm really beginning to miss it now after, you know, staying in a hotel for so long. It's finally going to go on sale this weekend with a big open house, so be interested to see how it goes because I'm still owed some money on that place. Bid high, ladies and gentlemen. I need it. But again, every time I seem like I answer the phone lately, it's an insurance company or an adjuster or some kind of mitigator with more bad news about the condominium that I bought. And but at least I'm in a hotel where I got hot water. I can shower and be kind of normal. The problem with the blown pipe, the hot water pipe that blew up under the kitchen floor, which is in the foundation, in the concrete. I mean, what a stupid way to build a place. That hasn't been touched after, you know, 3 weeks, and it's been kind of a battle. The whole place needs to be repiped through the attic. And I've been told that by 4 different plumbing organizations, no relation to each other, and that the old pipe, you know, is just going to keep blowing and blowing and blowing. You put a patch on the old stuff, and apparently that creates pressures at every angle. And wherever there's an angle of the old pipe in the foundation, in the concrete, you know, it's going to blow like every 6 to 8 months. So I don't want to live like that. We have to do the normal thing, which is repipe the entire house through the attic. But, of course, the insurance company, they just want to put a Band-Aid on it. You know, so it's a battle. And I've learned in the last couple of days that the kitchen cabinets are soaked. They have to come out. Whole kitchen has to come out. And about a third of the floor that I just put down in the family room has got to come out. So, you know, and now there's the worry about mold. You know, mold is what put me in the hospital for 44 days, a total of 44 days in 2020. Mold and exposure to it stopped my breathing 8 times. You know, had to be hauled out of there on my back without a breath coming out of my body by good old American ambulance. Yay. Anyway, it's been rough, kids. I mean, that's the update, you know, and there's more, but, you know, why bother? Talking about it's not going to do anything about it. People need to start doing something for me, you know, so I can at least have a roof over my head that I can say, hey, that's mine. Speaking of problems, there are a couple of former vice presidents by the name of Biden and Pence. One happens to be a president right now. And because of the classified document stuff discovered at their homes, you know, this has been a lesson on how to handle things in the press and the public. And most people in the press and the public are now in agreement, whether they're right or left, that Pence has done a much better job of handling it as a former vice president than Biden, who is a former vice president, who unfortunately is the president of the United States. We have all the details on Pence's situation now, and I'll go through that. A lot of you love Walmart. I've only been to Walmart twice in my life, you know. They are the largest private employer in the United States of America. Did you know that? And they announced yesterday they're going to be raising the minimum wage nationally in their organization. Now, that's from $12 to $14 an hour. Here in California, of course, it's much more because we're so special. But Walmart has 1.7 million workers in the USA. 94% of those workers are on hourly wages. And I'm just bringing this up because Walmart, which is known for its prices, is going to be raising those prices, all of them, for sure. That's a reflection of the minimum wage because it's hyperinflationary. When the minimum wage goes up, the price of everything goes up. Hyperinflationary. Walmart. Too bad, so sad. Secretary of State, former CIA director, former Congressman Mike Pompeo. He's taken a gob of flack from the Washington media, and that has provided him with some very thick skin. He's put together a list of Washington's top 10 lazy, nasty journalists. That's what he calls it, the lazy, nasty journalist list, top 10. It's kind of funny, and it absolutely needs to be shared out here on the left coast with everybody. It's coming up later. Mike Pompeo's top 10 lazy, nasty journalist list. Yes. I think that's just, I saw this and I just, it's funny. We need to laugh anyway, you know? The intelligence community, speaking of Pompeo being former CIA director, is absolutely silent on the Biden documents case. In fact, Justice and Intel are not saying anything. They're not offering anything in the way of a damage assessment on Joe Biden's document saga. Despite both of the agencies repeatedly bashing and discussing the Mar-a-Lago risk review over and over and over and over again in the public, I don't think I've seen a higher level of political hypocrisy in any case that we've covered on this program ever, ever, ever. Hasn't happened. Jim Jordan is going to be heading a new subcommittee. It's a new subcommittee investigating the weaponization of the FBI. There are 12 Republicans on this panel. This panel of the weaponization of government agencies. It's one of the Republicans, the new Republicans and their majorities, one of their top priorities is to look at these government agencies. Jim Jordan is heading up the battle on this one, but he's going to be joined by New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik. Yes, a very hot ticket politically. The Republican Chip Roy out of Texas. A couple of other people that you know of. A couple of the people that held up McCarthy's nomination and confirmation for Speaker, they're on this committee, this subcommittee that falls under the House Judiciary Committee, which is also chaired by Jim Jordan. Technology and outer space, something that's really exciting to tickle my little old brain. NASA is going to be testing a revolutionary new nuclear-powered set of rockets that can reach Mars in a record amount of time. This is an incredible story. And on top of this, NASA has also announced that an asteroid the size of a fire truck, doesn't sound like much, but that can take us out, is going to buzz the Earth in the closest ever flyby of an asteroid since we've been making records on this stuff. And when is this going to happen? Man, fasten your seatbelts. It's coming right up in 300 years. But aside from reduced travel time to Mars, this rocket can also allow a greater payload, better communications, better instrumentation. So in terms of efficiency, it's estimated that this nuclear thermal rocket could be three or four more times efficient than the standard chemical propulsion that we've been using for years and years. And it's going to just provide us with a very quick trip to Mars. How quick? Boom. I need a drummer. Hit the cymbals and the snare. Real quick, and I'll share that shortly. They've partnered with DARPA. NASA has the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency in what's being called the Demonstration Rocket for Agile Cislunar Operations, DRACO. DRACO. I love it. DRACO. Almost forgot on the document situation that the National Archives has missed a deadline imposed upon them by the House of Representatives, a deadline they agreed to turn over Biden classified document information. So the question becomes, what are they withholding? Why do they not want the House to see this? What reason would the National Archives have to withhold documents and miss a deadline imposed by the House? And I'm talking about the House of Representatives. They've never missed a deadline. What's going on? What's going on? You know, going back to the document thing very quickly, with President Biden, former President Trump, former Vice President Pence, former President Clinton, G.W. Bush, Barack Obama, they've all had documents. It has all of Capitol Hill awash and abuzz. This is all they're talking about what a sweep of all former living presidents and vice president residences would provide, you know, if their offices and their homes were, you know, ripped apart by these investigative agencies. Lord, I think we're all thinking that. And something that's been long overdue, and then we got to get to a break. And I think this was put together by Senator Josh Hawley. Hawley, I believe, is from Missouri. Correct me if I'm wrong. He's put together something called the Pelosi Act. That would bar members of Congress, as well as family members, from holding and trading stocks. Family members, no. Congress members, no. Nancy, I bet she loves this. She was called out last year after her husband, Paul, you know, bought up to $5 million in stock in a semiconductor company. right as the Senate was passing legislation to massively subsidize the semiconductor industry. Remember that? There's no doubt that Paul Pelosi and Nancy Pelosi are inside players. They've been caught. You know, Nancy is with a group of Republicans and Democrats who beat the market, with probably inside information. One of them, is one of our favorites. He happens to be a congressman that wears an eye patch. No names here. I don't want to make him look bad because I love the guy. And the incredible shrinking President Joe Biden, no shock here, but I have a list. It would appear that Democrats, by the drove, by the load in Washington, in the House and the Senate, are leaving his side. They're no longer supporting Biden. It's Dan Crenshaw who I'm talking about. You know that. And a lot of people believe the Democrats have planted the documents on Biden, by the way, to make him look bad so he doesn't run in 2024 or to get him out now. Some of you believe this is just strictly an inside deal. It may be. I don't have a crystal ball, though. I can't come up with that stuff. 490-5858, 800-776-5858. Those are the numbers. I've got a couple of... Remember we talked about electric cars yesterday? I've got a great story about electric cars abroad. Wait until you hear this. It's coming up on KMJ.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
The Ray Appleton Podcast.
It's free.
KMJNow.com.
Speaking of guns and the Second Amendment and all of that and the great late Charlton Heston, I got a story coming up later. You got to hear this one. Gavin Newsom has been accused of just huge hypocrisy. What else is new? He was having this speech and he called the Second Amendment a suicide pact while surrounded by heavily armed guards. A load of them. That's because of the Monterey Park thing. Second Amendment is a suicide pact, and he's surrounded by armed guards, and what an idiot. He doesn't even think when he, opens his mouth at how it's going to, print with all of us. Today's Daily Buzz question is a humdinger. If you're a teacher, we're going to talk about this later, maybe, if I've got some time. Got so much stuff today. The Daily Buzz question, KMJNow.com. If Governor Ron DeSantis, not if, he has, Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida has unveiled a teacher's bill of rights, which would allow you teachers to oppose school boards if you believe the policies were against the law. And this is because school boards all over the country have been cited for making regulations, rules, whatever, that are unconstitutional. So again, Ron DeSantis has unveiled in Florida, he's the governor, the teacher bill of rights, which would allow teachers to oppose school boards if you teachers, believe the policies were against the law. Do you like it or not? Oh, boy. Can't wait to see this one. Let us know. KMJNow.com. The Buzz Question is sponsored by the Buzz Allergy, Asthma, and Sinus Centers. That's a good one. Californians are going to be voting on whether to overturn a fast food law about their wages. I'll explain that shortly. We've been warned locally here in Fresno by the mayor and others. Gas rates, electric rates are going to be going up. They're going to increase by 36% this year. 36%. Yesterday, we had a quick little talk about electric cars, and a lot of you called in, really thrilled with your electric cars, just loving them. I admit I'm sort of coming around to the technology. Probably down the road I'll give it a try. But, you know, there's always that question of what does it cost to charge up as opposed to filling up? In England, the average driver of an electric vehicle, an EV, pays more to charge up the electric car than to gas up the old car per mile traveled. What's the point? What's the point? Do they feel good about this? No, they do not. The Brits are furious. I mean, these rapid charge points used by motorists, you know, topping off, you know, long drives are now nearly £10. What's that? That's like $18, $15 to $18 more expensive than filling up a car with gas or petrol, as they would say. How do you feel about that? Could that happen here in California? Of course it could. But if you're a Brit, you're driving an electric car, you're paying more to charge up the car than you would to gas up the old car. Just, yeah. What can I say? It's just really bad. It's just not good. All right. We're all over the place today. Walmart is America's largest private employer. A lot of you love Walmart. I've only been to Walmart twice. It said yesterday that it's going to be raising the minimum wage from $12 to $14 nationally. Okay? Now, here in California, of course, that's much more. But why are they doing this? It's trying to retain, as they say, store and warehouse workers in a very tight labor market, you know, for, you know, lower wage industries. Walmart's got 1.7 million employees, 1.7 million workers in the United States. 94% of these workers, I believe, are hourly employees. I mean, the company hired hundreds of thousands of workers during the COVID-19 pandemic to meet the strong consumer demand for groceries and other goods to be delivered and all that in many areas of the country, most notably maybe in the southern states that have not adopted higher wage laws. You know, Walmart's starting wage often serves as the local minimum wage. They use that as a gauge. The company's move is likely to have a ripple effect across the service industry big time. So Walmart, for decades, we've talked about it on the program, has been the target of a lot of criticism from labor groups for low pay, what they perceive to be low pay. But it's been raising wages slowly in recent years. And in the latest move, it's going to be closing the gap with Amazon, Target, Costco, all the other rivals. Amazon and Target have a $15 minimum wage nationally. Costco starts at $17 an hour nationally. California, it's more. I say that and you nod your head. It's going, yeah, we know that, Ray. Shut up. Just in case you don't. Walmart's wage hike reflects pressure on all the change to raise pay in a battle for labor. You know, Walmart is trying to keep pace with rivals, I assume, as well as cities and states that have been raising their minimum wages. The federal minimum wage has been $7.25 an hour since 2009. Washington State, you would think California, has the highest minimum wage in the country at $15.74, although we're going to be passing them up shortly. So you've got dozens of companies, including Walmart, who have laid off, you know, corporate staff in recent months. Demand for service industry workers remains, though, very, very strong. But a lot of them aren't out there because they're still being paid some to, you know, sit home on their butts. And those that aren't being paid are still sitting home because they just find it a nicer way of life. You know, Walmart has nearly 30,000 stores listed on its hiring website. Man. You know, and the number of job openings has stood at 10.5 million in November. Yeah. Can you believe that? With one organization, they have 10.5 million job availabilities. That's amazing. Whew. And that's according to the Labor Department. You know, very high by historical standards and far more than the 6 million unemployed people who were looking for a job that month. And again, that's November we're talking about. I mean, there were more than 1 million job openings in the retail sector total, but Walmart had an unbelievable amount, as I just told you. Quote, the labor market remains competitive, particularly at this level. Hourly workers are still very hard to find, and companies are continuing to compete for them by raising wages. And that's Andy Challenger. He's the senior vice president at an outplacement firm, Challenger Grain Christmas. They've been around forever. Big firm. Note them well. So the Walmart U.S. chief is John Furner. He said yesterday in a memo that the company's wage hike will ensure we have attractive pay in the markets we operate, end quote. The company's move also comes as low-wage workers need larger paychecks to deal with the rising cost of food because of the inflation. That's not Walmart's problem, though. So that's the deal. But what's the end-all be-all of this? What happens when the minimum wage goes up? The price of all goods go up. It's hyperinflationary. There's that word again that Ray always uses. So if you shop at Walmart because it's an affordable option for you, the price of every single thing, from lipstick to lube, is going to go up accordingly because of this national hike in the minimum wage. You will be affected by it if you shop at Walmart. And if you don't shop at Walmart, you still could be affected by it because that minimum wage is going to be reflected by other chain stores, whether they're nationally owned or whether they're locally owned. There's going to be a lot of follow the leader here. And all of this will raise prices during an inflationary period, during a recession. Prices will go up. And remember, in Fresno, I just told you, just to add a little insult to injury, the power of gas, and I'm talking about, you know, gas to operate your home and electricity and all that, going up 36% in the year 2023. 36% in the way of a hike. Yeah, I know. You want to throw up.
The Ray Appleton Podcast, right now.
It's free.
KMJNow.com.
Speaking of the minimum wage, as we just were with Walmart, here in the great state of California, we have some quirky minimum wage rules. But there's going to be a voter initiative coming up fairly soon that would overturn, listen to me, this is very important, that would overturn this California law that's aimed at raising minimum wages and improving the so-called working conditions for those in the fast food industry. Now, this initiative to overturn all of this stuff, and I'll tell you what this stuff is, has qualified to be on next year's ballot. The referendum raised 623,000 valid voter signatures. No problem. And it's going to be placed on the ballot November the 5th, 2024. It's the first of its kind law that was passed last year. We talked about it. Established by a 10-member council, empowers a set of minimum wages as well as standards for hours and working conditions for California fast food workers. And it would affect some 550,000 workers statewide. You got two industry groups, the International Franchise Association and the National Restaurant Association, promoting the referendum that would leave it to the fate of the voters. And I'm talking about the referendum to overturn all of this stuff. On December the 30th, the Sacramento Court, Superior Court, a judge there temporarily blocked the state from implementing this law while the ballot signatures were counted and verified. But the measure would have raised, listen to me, this measure would have raised employee minimum wages to $22 an hour by the end of this year for chains such as McDonald's and Starbucks and all of these places that have 100 or more outlets nationwide. The current minimum wage for all of these workers is $15.50 an hour. You know, this would have raised it to $22 an hour. Voters will vote to overturn this November of 2024. You understand? This is ridiculous. We've talked about this law before. This is why, and this is specifically why, a number of fast food chains are employing, and I use that term loosely, robotics at the front counter. No longer people taking orders, but computers taking orders. Yeah. And you're going to see more and more and more of this as a result of the minimum wage going up, especially here in California and also in the state of Washington. The state of Washington has gone hog crazy on robotics in the fast food industry. But here in California, we will have a chance to overturn this law. Will it happen? I don't know. I'm thinking it might, because we've had enough here. We don't care anymore. So we'll be voting again in November of 2024 to overturn a law that would raise the fast food industry minimum wage. That industry, again, you know, McDonald's, all of those. $22 an hour for a fast food worker. Now, fast food workers say, I work hard, I do this, I do that, that's great. Minimum wage was never intended to be a living wage. Ever. Never. By its design, never. This is an entry-level wage, and the rest is up to you. Period. You know, people scream about, well, we need to have a living minimum wage. You're never going to have a living minimum wage because it's hyperinflationary. It cannot catch up with itself and the price of retail goods and services because of what it is by its own standard. I don't care. It can be $100 an hour. It will not be a living wage because everything else will go up accordingly. Period. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. So this whole idea of screaming for a living wage as a minimum wage, it doesn't work. It hasn't worked from day one because by its design, minimum wage is an entry-level wage. And you're only supposed to be on minimum wage 6 to 9 months out of your life. Not forever. And some people have tried to make it into a forever wage. And it's not a forever wage. And that was the average going back a bit. People were on the minimum wage between 6 to 8 to 9 months. That's it. And from there, they continue to grow wage-wise, education-wise. It's up to you. But it's not, I'm going to say it again, a living wage by its, yeah. And I think 99% of you know this, but you won't admit it. A lot of you won't admit it. Victor, you're on KMJ. Welcome.
Hey, Ray. You know, here's the deal about minimum wage and being raised up to $22 an hour. It's going to be a snowball effect. Everybody's going to raise their income up $2 or $3 an hour. It's going to be across the board, but don't complain about a dozen eggs costing $7 a dozen, a gallon of milk costing $8 a gallon. It's going to snowball into everybody's got to cover their wage to make this come to the market. And we are the market. We are the people that take on that wage to make it fair for the person paying the wage. Make sense?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. And as you know, union wages are tied to the minimum wage. So everybody thinks union wages are an animal all of their own. You know, they're not. When the, you know, minimum wage goes up, union wages go up, period. So it's hyperinflationary, again, all over the place. I mean, I don't know. I've been talking about this since we began this program back in 1987, once we got past the initial shock of the market crashing on October the 19th, 1987, I started on the minimum wage, you know, and I haven't stopped. Sean, hi, you're on KMJ.
Good morning. Well, yeah, so it's actually funny, but the crying about minimum wage is actually producing an effect, and that effect is politicians know that people are ignorant enough to believe anything they say, and that's the sad truth right there.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, thank you, Sean. This is a politically manufactured wage. It's artificial. And it doesn't make any sense because you can't do the cookie cutter approach for a gigantic set of labor because of different living conditions, because of different, you know, because of inflation, because of different types of labor. I mean, there are so many reasons why you can't have a cookie cutter wage as a so-called minimum wage or living wage, as some people prefer, because there are just too many differences that divide all of this up. You know, I've always said, and I thoroughly agree, we shouldn't have a minimum wage. Period. This forces you to get an education. This would force you to make better of thyself so you can sell thyself to thy boss. Do you follow me? I believe it to this day. I said it in 87 when the program began. I'm saying it in 2023. There shouldn't be a minimum wage. Should not. A lot of calls. I'm going to grab all of you, every one of you. 490-5858, 800-776-5858. This is KMJ. I am Ray Appleton. And a minimum wage again because of this law that has been cleared to be on the ballot next year that would overturn this $22 an hour minimum wage for the fast food industry. I mean, that is a bit exorbitant. I'll be right back.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing to say.
Congratulations.
Feels
we're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time.
Yep.
Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
Right now,
the Valley's legendary Ray Appleton.
The Ray Appleton Podcast, KMJNow.com.
You know, of all the subjects we've talked about over the years, 35 years plus of this program, we've talked about minimum wage, I think, more than anything else, to be honest with you. Darren, you're on KMJ. Welcome.
Hey, Ray. You know, first of all, when I say this, I don't mean to really insult anybody, but fast food workers don't deserve $22 an hour. Okay, I worked in Fresno. There was a little fast food place called Daily Delight, Dairy Delight in Pinedale. I closed the place down. I closed it, counted the money at 15, and I never made more than minimum wage. Okay, so what they're asking these people to do is not high dollar thinking. Okay, so that's number one.
It's totally ridiculous. Two, I totally agree with you. It's an insult to any hardworking guy. Go ahead.
Hey, I just retired from a utility company, okay, top 10 most dangerous job in the United States. I won't go into it. I never made more than $45 an hour, okay, just retired. So now 45 sounds like a lot. Yeah, but, you know, top 10 most dangerous job. I worked in the cold, the rain, the pouring, you know, keeping people in service. So I wasn't behind a fryer. So that's number one. Number two is this. In Texas, Fort Worth, Texas, they opened a fully automated McDonald's. Okay? The only people there are a couple people in the kitchen. The average person does not even see an employee. So these people are going to work themselves right out of a job. Because you can already go to these kiosks. I'm one of these older guys. I like to order in front of a person, but if you don't give me the choice, you know, I know how to punch a button.
Sure.
So it's not that hard. So like I said, I don't want to insult anybody, but these are not economists that are working these jobs thinking about everything. Your hyperinflationary, these hyperinflationary term you use is exactly right. I'm now retired, so you think I'm going to go buy a McDonald's burger when the guys are making $22 an hour? I'm the one that's screwed because finally in my life, I finally got to quit working, and now they want everything to be jacked up. You know, these people are just idiots that are running the show, and that's all I got to pretty much say.
I think you said it brilliantly, my man. Good luck in your retirement. God bless you, sir. Parker, you're next. Hi.
Yeah,
I struggle with that $22 minimum wage for multiple reasons, but I think the biggest one is the obvious one, where if we just use round numbers, let's say the government pulls 30% out of that wage for taxation. So it just adds another couple bucks to our government allowance, basically. And I don't think $22 is a fair minimum wage in the sense that, you know, I've owned businesses my whole life, and you're taking employees now that are making $17 an hour as your lead employee, and you bring an entry-level employee in, and now that $17 an hour gentleman, he's going to expect 25 or 26. I think it's counterproductive on multiple aspects. But the biggest issue for me is the only person I see really coming out all the way around it has nothing to lose is our government. I mean, the IRS and taxation is, it's a winner all the way around, and there's nothing we can do about it.
You're right.
And that's pretty much how I look at it, Ray, is the only people that have nothing to lose in this game isn't any business, because we all know the fast food industry has done nothing but went downhill for years and years and years because there's no expectations in the job. I mean, I have a local McDonald's around the corner from me that they completely remodeled, put kiosks in, got rid of some of the employees. It is now the absolute worst possible service you could ever ask for. And I've called in numerous times just to say, hey, there's a problem here. And it's obvious they don't care. It's not about a customer service industry anymore.
If you're going to pay that wage, and thank you, sir. I think you, that was just right on. But Parker, if you're going to pay that kind of a wage, we would expect that kind of service. $22 an hour wage. I want $22 an hour service. You know, I want them bringing the food out to my car, shining the wheels, taking the bugs off the grill. You know, Patrick, hey.
How you doing, Ray?
Good.
I started working in my mom and my aunt's restaurant out in Kerman. It was called Ma's Cafe at 8 years old in 1969. Minimum wage was 75 cents an hour. In 74, they took over Jack's Resort. And I did everything. I was the afternoon cook, and I did everything. I made a big $1.25 an hour. In 1979, I joined the Navy because that $1.25 wasn't making it.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, this $22 an hour, that's just ridiculous.
Well,
I don't see how they could even think they can sustain this. The market won't sustain it.
Well, that's why they're being replaced by robotics. You know, of course the market won't sustain it. Thank you, sir. I'm a little tight on time. It doesn't work for anybody, and it doesn't even work for the employee, because the price of everything goes up. The more that you make, the more that the government takes accordingly out of your check. Yet the price of everything goes up. In this particular case, during hyperinflationary times, during a recession, and I don't care what anybody says, we are in a recession. We have been in a recession for at least 9 months. It's ridiculous to say that we're not. Anybody who does, I can't say it with a straight face. We will continue with your phone calls. Hang in there as we talk about minimum wage again. Why are we talking about minimum wage again? We've had two stories on minimum wage since I jumped in here today. This latest is to overturn, via a vote in November of 2024, what would be this $22 an hour minimum wage for the fast food industry only. And this has qualified to go on the ballot with 623 valid signatures. And during the general election, you're going to vote on it. And I hope you know how to vote on it. I hope you know what to do when the time comes. But stay there. All of you on the line, stay there. We'll get your calls right after this on the Ray Appleton Program at KMJ.
It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.